Blog Talk Radio.
It's trash.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Boom, 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 boom. What's good, War Room family? You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Jimmy the Blueprint, and I'm at the round table with my brother B. Austin. Dev is in Canada fighting wildfires for us, you know what I mean? So shout out to the brothers. But listen, the NBA Finals stand at 2-1. Nuggets got the lead, so we'll take a brief look at what's going on in the series. So sit back, relax, you know what I'm saying, and bust it up once again with your brothers in the War Room, the greatest man cave in the history of civilization. Episode 683 starts now. You can get in on the conversation yourself by signing in right now on the By the Hood chat room. That's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. Or join us on Facebook and Twitter at War Room Sports. We'll also be taking your calls in about, I don't want to say about 30 minutes. I'm going to say in about 10, 15 minutes, because you know me and my brother B. Austin get on here, man. We Jaden and Styles and get out of here. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't even going to tell you 30 minutes because we ain't going to be in there. Anyway, listen, that number is 323.
Don't nobody do four-minute songs no more. Ain't no four-minute songs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We know what the tension span is, man. So we changing the program up, man. But that number, though, is 323-410-0012. Listen, man, what up, fam? Yo, Cornel West is running for president. Like, does he have your vote or not?
I mean, of course he has my vote. Like, he has no chance in any dimension. Earth 818 of the Marvel Universe, he can't win in any dimension. But yeah, we'll vote for the brother.
Yo, man, shout out to our people. I love our people, man. Skyview Kevin is in the chat room right now, and the first thing he puts up is Mariah Mills. We didn't even get to that yet. That's, you know, everybody. Yo. So we're going to get to that in a minute.
Yo, it's coming. No pun intended. Yo. So was Zion.
The funny thing is, the NBA Finals are going on and don't nobody care. But, Cornel West, man, shout out to you, man. Hopefully you use that as an opportunity to just make sure certain issues are addressed.
Hopefully you somehow put Infantade, the Prince of Pan Africanism, within your cabinet. Yo, he gotta be in the government.
Listen,
you laughing. If my man gets in office, they literally put Steve Bannon in the White House. Like, you understand how crazy that
I know,
is?
Yo, are you calling Steve Bannon the other side's Infantade?
Oh, actually, I'm not, because Steve Bannon represents a level of nefariousness and historic systemic racism and atrocities that Prince of Pan-Africanism can't compare to. He's good-hearted and kind and positive for our folks. Listen, black love and black power is not synonymous with white hate. Go ahead, man. We ain't coming. All right,
yeah. Let me move on. Be off and get us. Yeah, because I told y'all we out of here in a half. So let me make sure we get these topics in, because Be Austin about to like make us go off on a whole other thing, man. But listen, before we get started, I gotta remind you guys that whether you with us live or not, anytime you can check out all of our episodes as well as our sister shows in the War Room Sports Podcast Network, right? And you can do that by going to warroomsports.com or any podcast platform. Those shows include Tissue and the Tape, Broad Street Line, Superstar Sports, Bon Appetit, On the Couch with the Wilsons, After Further Review, et cetera. So, you know, make sure to check us out. Go to War Room Sports to get more information. But it is time to talk about hot topics, which are brought to you by MyBookie. The bottom line is, if you want to get paid, you know, putting those bets in, go to MyBookie.ag, and you can join now. MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit up to $1,000. Use the promo code War Room to activate this offer. Go to mybookie.ag today, play, win, and get paid, and that's all there is to it. But let's get into a couple of topics, man, before we get to the topic that everybody cares about. But Josh Camp says that the gun in his latest video was fake. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Yo. Y'all know your boy. I got some Pan-Africanist leanings, some Black nationalist leanings. I'm here to be a protectionist. But one of the things that we have done in our content creation history, and in Weebtivity, man. Yo, we gotta call it how it really is, man. Dog, y'all smacked the ish out of Ja and his dad, man. I'll probably get shot after.
Yo,
I smacked the ish out of him. Yo, because you know why? You know why, yo? Because Ja's behavior really exhibits and exudes everything that a young teenager does that your dad, your pop, is responsible for correcting. Everything, like, he personifies what, as a dad, like, everything, and it's like this young boy is getting away with it or gets away with it because of who he is and where he is in life. Yo, you pulled the ratchet out. You had the burner out. It got caught on social media, and now you are literally telling people, oh, no, it was a toy gun. You're going to insult our intelligence, first and foremost. And then secondly, you're not willing to just take responsibility, fall on the sword, and say, yeah, I went to Adam Silver's office. I lied to him. And then I came and did the same thing again, and I did it. My bad. Like we're not going to catch on to the fact that toy guns have an orange tip on the end. Did not have an orange tip. Now, Zion might have had a red tip, but Mariah Mills will have to confirm that.
We'll get to that. But listen, I just think that, you know, to quote, you know, this is a Jay-Z line, man, a gun in your face and that's all you can come up with? Like, y'all had a couple weeks and that's all y'all can come up with? Like, y'all really going to try to pull this off?
Them
like,
two,
you know.
Yo, them two ice cubes? Never mind. Go ahead.
Yo, because even I think that and Adam Silver, I heard like a quote from him today, and he was like, does it matter, right? So considering, you know, the trouble you were in and everything that's going on, does it even matter if it's a play gun or not? Like, that's still problematic. So I don't think this even is going to matter in the grand scheme of things in terms of what punishment he gets. But, you know, I just, you know, a gun in your face and that's all you can come up with. Anyway, moving on to the next story, though. Your man Scottie Pippen in the news, man. Because Scottie Pippen, man, was talking about LeBron and, you know, LeBron being an overall great player. But, you know, he was talking about how he doesn't have a GOAT. He said because basketball is a team game. And then he started talking about MJ, and he went a little bit too far. My guy said that everybody saw Michael Jordan play. And we know before I got there that Michael Jordan was a horrible player and a horrible teammate. And, you know, he didn't win until I got there. So what do you think about Scottie calling the boy, quote-unquote, horrible?
Before Scottie arrived, Michael Jordan averaged 37.1 points per game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2.5 steals, and close to 1 block per game. Those were his stats on almost 50% from the field. It's sad to me, like, this is beyond us even being able to just crack jokes at this point. What Scottie is doing is sad because, yo, he's stepping on the dick of his own legacy, man. Like, he sounds crazy for attention. The wise poet, I know where you can go to say there's validity in some of what he's saying.
No,
overall,
I'm not even
going
there, right?
Where he's going, like, yo. The wise poet and sage John Jackson said, money isn't the root of all evil anymore. Attention is.
I do think that's a small part of it. Scottie likes attention. Scottie knows that when he comes out, when he shows his face and comes out and talks, he'll get attention by slandering MJ, and I think he knows that.
But he's playing checkers, and the ball he's going at is playing chess. My man straight sent his son to take Scottie's piece.
Yo, like, here's the thing, right? So I think it's context to that too, right? So obviously she still uses Boyd's last name because that helped her get indoors. But Scotty ain't messed with Chick in you know, a long time at this point. But I don't think that even matters, right? Scotty is hurt over that documentary. Because if you remember, before that documentary came out, he never dissed Mike like this. But he felt so disrespected by what happened in the documentary that he let his hands up. But it makes me also feel like you felt these things before the documentary, but the documentary was like, all right, now all bets are off. Now I'm going to tell you how I really feel. That's my perspective in terms of watching Scotty.
I totally agree with that. I think you're 105% right. The 5% being you could probably even go further than that. That's 100% how Scotty has been jealous of Mike since before time began.
Yeah. So I also feel like you're moving off of emotion, though, right? Like, and you're just moving off of emotion, which is always problematic. You know, the art of war teaches us that you can't move off of emotion, but that's neither here nor there. The other part about this is that he knows he'll get an audience, like you said. And the reason I have, not said I have a problem with it, but the reason I'm like, yo, Scotty, you wild, is because the language you use. You could have said that he didn't get the accolades until you got there, or he wasn't a winner. I would even have accepted that, which is kind of crazy. But you called him a horrible player. That's kind of wild. It's the language you use. Now,
call someone out for their take on Mike is crazy. Because we know how you feel about MJ.
But the one thing is, I say to boys, I just think that the whole idea of he's the GOAT and no one can challenge him, I think that's problematic. But at the same time, I do recognize his skill set, and I recognize what he means to the game. And to call him horrible, it's just a lie. It's disingenuous, right? And the other thing is, I think that we do have a little bit of revisionist history of Mike, because I remember Mike before the winning, and he was called selfish. He was called a gunner. He was called a terrible teammate. All those things were true, but he was never called horrible. Even with him being called a gunner, selfish, only cares about that, called him horrible.
He was all of those things, but he averaged 37, 6, 6, and 2.5.
So no one called him horrible. So I think Scotty just went too far. Like, you got to learn how to, you know, and that's the thing. Like, great thing about this, the one thing I told you I respect about Mike is, Mike just doesn't even pay dudes no mind. Mike is, like, he just want to get high, play with the bunnies, and run his team into the ground. Like, he don't even care about none of this nonsense. That's the funny thing is, Mike don't even have a GOAT debate. That's the crazy part. Like, and that's the way you should be. Let y'all have it. I ain't got nothing to do with that. That's, you know, y'all get y'all opinion.
Yep.
Anyway, Scotty, you playing yourself. You know what I'm saying? We need a J.Ru the Damager clip. We need a J.Ru the Damager award. And we already got a JoJo award. We need a J.Ru the Damager award. Like, you're playing yourself. Anyway. With that being said, though, man, next thing I want to talk about is this. Well, I was going to talk about the Team USA. And they said, quote, unquote, they're sending a star-studded lineup. They have a star-studded lineup committed to play for Team USA for the World Cup. And then you look at that lineup, and there's a bunch of, like, number two options and Jalen Brunson type dudes, and you like, where the stars at? But I don't even care about that. Now, let's get to the ish, man. Let's talk about the quote of the week. And the quote of the week is, I motivated you to get back in shape. I let you smut me in all kinds of ways and film me on your phone, Zion Williamson, and you impregnate a low-budget porn star, DNA test, or I'm done, unquote. And that is from one Mariah Mills. That is our quote of the week. I know that Scott, he has been in the chat. He got some thoughts about Mariah Mills. I know my brother B. Austin was talking to me. He was trying to talk about it before the show. I said, yo, hold those thoughts, beloved. But so for those who don't know, Zion Williamson came out that, you know, he was having a baby. It was an amazing, gender reveal. I believe he's having a daughter, if I remember correctly. It was a beautiful thing, man. You know, Zion, he got rid of those snow bunny allegations, man, because, you know, up until this moment, we thought Zion only played in, you know what we thought about Zion, man, that he was.
If you want some barbarian coochie, be my guest. If you that thirsty that you need some barbarian coochie, go get you some barbarian coochie. And I hope she got.
And we thought that's the mood, the mode that Zion was on, but. You know, he got a young lady getting ready to have his daughter. And then this young lady, Mariah Mills, came out, who is an amazing actress. and she put his business on Front Street. That one quote is just one of many tweets that she sent out going at Boyle. She was sharing the receipts of Zion going wild on the Snapchat. Zion was in the Snapchat wilding, spitting in her mouth and doing all kinds of craziness, man. So what are your thoughts, B. Austin, on this whole Zion Williamson story?
Yo, it's turned. We are going to turn this into a case study and a layered perspective, just because that's what we do and we enjoy laughing at the streets. I mean, we could just chalk it up, but the reality is, in this day and age, in this time, Zion Williamson has a contract that's going to pay him maybe $20, $25 million short of $200 million. He's got generational wealth, 25. How old is Zion? Is Zion 21, 22? Zion 23?
He's like 22 or 23. He's around there, 22 or 23.
He's 22 years old. Mariah Mills is 32 years old. She's been in the game for a long time. Brother, I would love to criticize Zion on a few different levels and fronts, but then I had to stop and think, man. I had to think of what I would be doing in my life at 22 years old with $200 million. Do you know what you would be doing at 22 years old with $200 million and unlimited access?
I know exactly what I would be doing at 22 years old with $200 million.
Right. And so, I know you're going to share
the OnlyFans culture where they like come get this posse. Like,
you're going to share the PG version of what you would be doing, as will I. And so at a certain level, I've got to shoot him a little bit of bail. The only thing that I look at, I'm like, brothers, like, you have to be very, very, very judicious and careful with A, who you give your peen to, and B, who you give your seed to that releases from said peen. Because now, for the rest of your life, you are linked with two women that at this point have had more sex than you. At least one of them had. One of them we know. Listen, Zion's 22. He's wealthy, and I'm sure he's putting the miles on. But, dog, compare to Mariah Mills. Like, she's got mileage. Do you realize how much dingus has been in that devil's coochie and womb, man? That her womb got to be a hodgepodge of Freddy Krueger spirits inside of there, and that's where you're putting you. Yeah, man. Listen,
let me add a little different perspective into this, man. Because initially I was gonna come with all sorts of jokes and slander Zion, but I was thinking about it, and I'm like, yo, I ain't mad at Zion at all, yo.
I ain't mad at him. You can't really be mad at him.
Let me tell you why, though.
Yeah.
At 22, right, with $200 million, it might have been worse, yo. And I know it would have been worse for you, because when you have a legendary notorious.
You've seen my social media
for those who weren't around. For those who weren't around with B. Austin's Tumblr days, he has a legendary Tumblr. I don't know if it still exists on the interwebs anywhere, but that Tumblr that B. Austin had tells me everything about what he would have did at 22 with $200 million. You would have been in Senegal with 800 of them, I know. So I thought about this, right? I'm much more upset at what Ja is doing with his career than Zion, right? Just because, you know, I guess for me, I didn't care about flashing guns. And also, because I knew we were going to talk about this on the show tonight, I did some research on Mariah Mills and her some of the stuff that she did. And in doing said research, Zion, I totally understand, beloved. Yo, she is one of the most skilled. Listen, Zion, I get it, beloved. I get it. I might have done that too, beloved. Now, another thing is, she caught feelings, not him. You know what I'm saying? Because as much as, you know, as much experience and everything she got, she could have shut her mouth and kept getting a couple of L's, but she caught feelings for Bull. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, you know.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. And we know what we know based on being men of a certain age. Again, she's 32 years old. Bull's 22.
Yeah.
So that's actually a not, never mind, I ain't going to say it. Zion, I understand. We ain't mad at you. Just you just gotta move a little while.
For those who don't know, just for research purposes, not to be creepy, but for research purposes, go into whatever site you use. You know what I'm saying? And just put Mariah Mills in there. I'll tell y'all the next video. Never mind. But I did a little research, and yeah, I get it, Zion. I get it. I'm not even mad at you.
Yo, bro. I'm going to be honest, from my time, you know, I didn't really have to do any research because I remember.
I didn't mind just for research purposes. I said, well, since we're going to talk about it, let me make sure that I have a full understanding of the temptations that my brother was dealing with. You know what I'm saying? I had to have the full understanding.
You had to have full perspective.
Yeah, I had to have full perspective. Zion, what kind of temptation are you really dealing with? And now I get it. 22, all he do anyway is sit around, dunk every once in a while, eat all the food he wants. My man Zion is living the greatest life, dog. He goes on OnlyFans and goes shopping for whatever he wants. He busts mean grubs in New Orleans. He eat po' boys all day. He don't play. You know what I'm saying? So on terrible fits. And every once in a while, you see him dunk to let him know, you know, let everybody know he still can dunk, and then just go back and repeat the same process. So, shout out to Zion for living an amazing life. And man, listen, I ain't mad at the brother, man. Like, you know, but at the end of the day, that you do got to be more careful about how you move now because, you know, now you are about to be a father. You know, I don't know what you and the ladies' plans are, but you just got to be more careful, man. You got to find someone who is better. With having a better understanding of that arrangement. Another thing I give Zion for credit for, too, is Zion was going shopping online and bringing him to the crib. He wasn't out here in the clubs acting crazy. How many athletes we seen getting in trouble because they got to go out and party all that? Zion was like, look, we partying in my crib. Come through.
The young man has some wisdom. And I'm going to just also say this. I heard you make a mention about him kind of playing in the snow and going north to Canada, you know, minus the fires. I never saw that from Zion.
Are you serious?
I never saw that.
Look at any –
yeah.
Yo, and when he was
even
when he was in high school in Duke, we used to make jokes about
school,
that.
In high school, he had one. He had a bad
yo.
Little cute Savannah
no,
James.
No, dog,
coach.
No, dog. He was all in the snow. I know Tobias will be on in a minute, and he'll tell you about Zion and his snow days. He made all kinds of snow jokes. Yeah. Like, even in Duke, he was all snow. He was all snowed out. He got to the league. Mm-hmm. He got to New Orleans. And then sisters was like, watch this.
So he's like, yo.
Usher
joint. He's like, yo, he getting advice from Big Russ.
Yo,
okay.
Listen, man.
He went the opposite way. Let's see, Zion.
Listen, man. Yeah. So, you know, he beat the allegations of just being a bunny hopper. And, you know, now he, you know, and Mariah, listen, I saw the tape, dog. Like, I'm not mad at you, bro.
Yo.
So salute to young Zion, man.
Did you do thorough research or did you just do surface research? Because which is his future, his child's mother.
I saw the Queen's flip joint on her. But
she's involved in the industry. It's
Matt Duncan. It's Duncan Hines there.
Behind.
It's some Duncan Hines there. But
man, nature's own.
But
Mariah.
Own. Yo, that's all I'm gonna say. All I'm gonna say is y'all go for everybody listening. You know, just for research purposes, just to make sure you have like you know full context of the story.
We ain't talking
about
Tommy Mottola. We ain't talking about Tommy Mottola's Mariah.
No. She's very talented, man. She's a talented young lady, man. And I hope she heals and gets better from this. You know what I mean? And Zion, you know, just you know, get healthy, brother. You know, do your thing. You know, but I ain't gonna come at you like, you know, some folks do. I'm just gonna say I get it. You know what I mean? But you know what though? All right, let's turn it positive now. This is the reason why people like Udonis Haslem are needed in the league.
100%.
Ain't Zion
the vet on that team?
Yo, that team is young. I'm not sure who the oldest is, but yo, I know CJ McCullough's on there. He got to be a little bit older, but that's a young team. Like, that's just why you need Udonis Haslem's on teams because, you know, get your rookie straight, man. Like, I heard Patrick Beverly talk about Udonis, and he gave Udonis all the flowers. He was like, Udonis helped him with, like, forget basketball, just being a man. Like, stay away from here, don't go here. You know, these are the people you talk to when you need this. Like, he said Udonis got him straight, and he said he will always respect him for that. So hearing that perspective was like, all right, so I see the value that he brings being that vet to keep you straight off the court. And this is just, you know, this is the case study for why more teams should have that around. You know?
Oh, totally.
But anyway, just a different perspective. That's all. Just a different perspective. So let's move on, man, because, you know, this is like the story everybody was talking about, but the NBA Finals are going on. And Tobias, we'll get you on in a minute, good brother. Like I said, we're not going to be here long, so we're going to definitely get you on in a minute. But let me get to these final stories real fast. Jokic, man, and I know a lot of folks ain't even watching the finals, but it is what it is. He became the first player in NBA history to record a 30-20-10 triple-double. He had 32 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Insane. Yo, as someone who looks at the lines going into the games, and me and Tobias have both been betting the Joker line. It's like a, what do you think he'll score? Like, as a combination, will he have 50 as a combination of points, rebounds, and assists? I think the first game was like 50.5. The second game, it went up to 51.5. Last night, I think it was like 52. And he keeps surpassing all of it. It's like Vegas doesn't even know how to. This dude is a stat monster. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this, yo. So from a statistical standpoint, you know,
yo,
I've seen more.
I got a question for you with regards to him and the history of our illustrious podcast. Mm-hmm. How do you think Doc Bay feels about dude?
I think he's probably Doc Bay's favorite player. And the reason I say this is because. I was messing with Doc Bay the other day in an interview. They asked this dude, who did he watch growing up? And he was like, my favorite players were like Tim Duncan and Boris Diaw or something like that. So I sent the video to Doc Bay and was like, yo, he gave your man a shout out. You know, Doc Bay loved that because Doc Bay loved Boris Diaw's game because he was well rounded and did a little bit of everything. Doc Bay tends to love players who kind of just have multiple skill sets. So I know he probably loves this dude, but. It's he's a stat monster, but overall in the series, though, the Nuggets are leading 2-1. The Heat did get one on their floor, but now they got one on the Heat's floor, so they do have a 2-1 lead. Miami came back in game two and got that game with a tough game, although Denver did come back, but it was a very interesting game. And what I like about this is both coaches are making adjustments. Did you change your mind in this series at all after seeing where we are after three games?
Slightly.
Okay, what are
Nuggets
you
and
now?
Six. Nuggets and six.
Okay, so you get a six hit. Okay. Okay. So Tobias just said, he a tweet someone said, he said, the Embiid being better than Jokic was a nasty take that was never close. We were just rooting for the black man. I mean, it's always going to be my truth. What about to get mad at that? Like, you know, what you want me to say? What about to get mad at that? Anyway, man, so, all right, Nuggets for six. That's what it is, man. So, let's get Tobias on in a minute because after this we're going to go right into what happened while you're going to Grizzly. But as a matter of fact, let's do this. Tobias, I know you're waiting to come on. We're going to get you on in a second. You know, and if anybody wants to call in, that number is 323-410-0012 and press 1 when prompted. But like I said, we're going to fly through these topics with Tobias. Matter of fact, let's get Tobias on now before we get to see. Tobias, I was trying to get more topics in, but I don't want you accusing me of holding. Plus, I want to show off since Devin here and get you on nice and early so next time you can compare me getting you on early to death. So let's get Tobias on right now. Roll Damn Tills Naive.
Roll Tide, gentlemen. How's it going?
Look, I got you on nice here. Yo, make sure you remember that, man. Make sure you remember who looked out, man.
Oh, I got you, man. You better be off of it there, by the way. But first.
I was going to talk about more topics, but in our chat, I know no one cares about anything but Mariah Mills, man. So, you know, we got to get you on to talk about these topics, man, about the finals and also about Zion, man.
All right. Well, Zion, my thing is, I was like, what happened to the good old days where the side chick kept their mouth shut and kind of do his bread?
Yeah.
Yo, but she didn't know she was a side John, though.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Can we keep it a buck? She just mad that she wasn't the one who got pregnant. That's all that was.
She's trying, she's trying to say she might.
Yeah,
I mean,
all she had to do was
keep quiet. She mad because Bull was just like doing her all kinds of crazy and spitting in her mouth. Yo, she said, I let you, smash me all kinds of ways. Like, she was just going in. Like, I, you know, not that I was on Twitter reading the whole thread, but I had to get context. So, you know, I did say it.
But you know what, though? And see, we got to keep a couple of things, got to keep a buck here. Hashtag, let's be honest here. These young guys don't realize women are cutthroat and predatory. There's a reason that dudes be crying themselves to sleep, and women are out with their doo-doo the next day. Just like Mars Chestnut, it took a play that game.
Listen, it's a new day. Socials have taught us it's a new day. They you know, I mean, people
city
are people,
up.
Man. At the end of the day, city girls up. But at the end of the day, people are people. But, I mean, this situation, I mean, you know, like B also said, she just didn't know where she stood. But it also makes me think, how many more out there? Like, you know what I mean? It might be a couple that didn't come out. You know what I mean? Like, Zion was on
the problem is Zion.
Shopping, man.
The dude ain't healthy enough to play with that bad hamstring, but he healthy enough to be doing like the reverse cowboy.
The crazy part is all these dudes, like even the basketball players.
Nah,
like,
that's
online,
reverse
like,
cowgirl.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
some of the dudes online like laughing and trying to make jokes about him. Like they literally have like babies by strippers. I'm like, y'all are so full of it. And the other half of y'all keep dating the Kardashians. So it's like, you know, Zion is introducing new talent to the game.
But you know what? My thing was that I don't care who he's smashing, but it's like a couple of things. This Mariah chick, I'm like, you're 30-something years old and you're expecting a 22-year-old that mature. you know, that's kind of like me expecting a tiger not to jump on me. But here's the other thing. I don't care what he does in his personal life. The only thing that got me was, son, why? And you see, and like you've seen these other players in all these sports, why did you go in raw on a chick that you know you didn't want to be stuck with?
You don't know that.
And you know, and
by the way, I didn't, just for research purposes, I went and checked out Mariah Mills, and I mean, I understand where you're coming from, beloved, but go do your research.
Hey, all I got to say
Tobias,
is that, hey,
you're a man of discipline. You're a man of discipline, or you're just passing judgment and forgetting when you was 22.
But when I was
22, I just had the, you know, the morning after connect. I wasn't really, you know,
hey,
never mind. Go ahead.
All I got to say is that, hey,
Tobias, when you served in the military and you went overseas, you mean to tell me, never mind.
Oh, yeah, I tell you why. Because I didn't want no Mitch kids knocking on my door, even though I told him my name was Jeff anyway. Just in case a man-made rubber didn't work. Because I see a little kid knocking on my door and spraying him in the face with water, with the spray bottle, get gone. But seriously, though, because I knew, because I was like, man, I don't want to be paying child support. I don't have kids. Now I'm 44. I wear rubbers. I'm sorry. I don't want to pay child support. That scared the hell out of me. Seeing some of my buddies get strung out. But I just think that with wealth, and your money getting spread all over the place. And like Brittany Renner even said, if you want a quick bag, stay the ball, mess with a ball player. And see, here's the other thing that people miss. Nowadays, in today's sports, especially basketball, when they identify these kids as prospects at 13, elite talents, they shelter these kids. And one thing that these young men don't get, they playing ball like that, they ain't have to do like we do to get women, where we have to spit game, listen to their BS, all that stuff. They can just say, hey, I'm Zaya, and they come over, you know. And they never had to deal with that stuff. That's why sometimes these young guys, get it out the way when you're in high school, get all that stuff out of your system, because all these, because what they don't get also, once you wait, we all done well in our lives, you know. B also lives in a palatial estate with a moat in the front yard. You know, Jimmy got properties everywhere. You know, he like the George Jefferson of Philly, you know.
Jimmy got a casino.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy got a black van right now that rent ain't paid. Break your leg.
Listen, man, I'm broke. But I get your point, though, but I'm broke. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'll say this
real quick about Zion.
Uh-huh.
What these dudes don't get, once you make a certain amount of money, ain't no woman going to like you because you're a swell fella. It ain't even knocking that. You just got to be right at who you pick long term, because that stuff, that's going to stick with you forever. You link to that person. And I think everybody's like, oh, the pullout game. Hey, there's a lot of guys who said that, like Magic, but ain't none of Magic side chicks ever came out and said, well, we don't know who these chicks look like. College education for these side babies they got. We don't even know they had them. But
yeah,
you just
Magic side chicks left him with something else, though. That's way worse than what Zion dealing with.
Hey, who sells a side chick? That's all I got to say. Maybe a side dude. But we're moving on to the finals.
Whoa.
Hey, moving on to the finals. you know the thing I like about the Nuggets? That the reason I like them is that they are big. Jamal Murray is a 6'4 point guard, which is a big point guard. Yeah. We're in a day and age where everybody wants to be small, but the Nuggets are a big team. Who plays like a big team? Jokic actually plays like a big man. Hot damn. He actually posts up and punishes people in the post. And when he commands a double team, he could also kick out the open shoot like the centers did in the 90s, the great centers. You double Hakeem or Shaq, they kicked it out. You set up opportunities. And the crazy part is the Nuggets aren't even shooting a three great in this series, but they're dominating the glass. They get points in the paint, and Jamal Murray, and this is why I think Michael Porter Jr. needs to develop his game. Jamal Murray is getting buckets. You know, he's getting mid-range, getting to the hole. He has a multifaceted game, kind of like what Steph Curry and Klay Thompson had. But those guys are just getting buckets.
So,
and that's what you
so
need.
You know the funny thing. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
You got it, brother. You got it.
Now, what I was going to say, Tobias, and we've talked about this many, many times, and we will be accused of being, you know, the old man, get off our lawn, but the evolution of the game today doesn't come from a place where the principles of yesteryear don't work. It comes from a place of what's most entertaining to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
What's most entertaining? Let's create an environment that rewards and stimulates the low percentage splash play, which means I get more for doing less, i.e. I shoot a longer shot quicker and I might get more points. So, so let's chuck it up, as opposed to the methodical way that Denver shows that they can play. They don't always play like that, but they can go to the low block, run the ball down, throw it into Jokic, let him make a decision and make a play with his back to the basket. Yo, it's beautiful to see, man. Actually, it's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see a team that knows their size is an advantage and they use it. Beautiful.
And look how often they get to the foul line. Look how often they get to the foul line also. But Jokic doesn't dribble the ball for 20 seconds. He's making quick decisions, you know. And so
100%.
You can't. Because you notice how, like, a lot of these teams, like Golden State, switch everything, and I still don't know why they let Steph Curry switch on LeBron, but that's a whole different conversation. You put little-ass Gabe Vincent out there, got switched on Jokic.
LeBron,
he was like,
fool.
Yes, he did Bam like that, and Bam is playing his butt off. But you know he's the same size as LeBron James? you know? And it's like, what people miss, they talk about, post up is the least efficient shot out there. This guy's shooting damn near 60. What was the percentage Shaq shot? Hakeem Olajuwon, these guys who are actually skilled players. They just weren't crossing up people at the 3-point line. You mean to tell me a guy who can do the dream shake and people come down to see him to learn their post work footwork, ain't skill. Boston, right, the Boston Celtics play. There wasn't even a ball moving into that three-point shot. He just, hey, we all stand in the circle, we pass the ball around, and we just jack it up. When you have two players with the body type to do more. And, like even like with KD, right, they criticize him not shooting threes. But I'm the guy, get you 28 to 30 a game. You know, why are we worried about this? Do what works. If it ain't your game, don't make it be their game. But even someone like Tatum, he takes 9 threes a game, they said, but he's not even that good of a three-point shooter. I just think that if it's your game, cool. Like I always, everybody looks like Steph Curry. They only made one of those in the history of the game. There will never be another one.
So I mean, it's just it's because what they're doing is they're basing it on statistics. And statistically speaking, three-pointer, you know, is more efficient, right? Because because efficiency isn't just the percentage in which you make it, right? It's what you get when you shoot it, right? So if I shoot a number of threes versus a number of twos over the long term, I'm going to have more points by jacking more threes. It's just statistics. Now, with that being said, what you said I think is part of it. It should be still within the flow of the game. But we got to, like, be honest, too, though. It's not like Denver's not jacking up threes. They're just not making them. You know what I mean? It's not like they're setting up. It's just that they're killing it on the boards, and they have the ability to get points in more than one way. We're going to post first. We're not going to post up first and not shoot the threes. It's just that when their threes aren't falling, they have something to fall back on, and which Miami kind of does. They're shooting like 30 – I think they're shooting like 32 – like a little over 32% from three for the series. Miami is only shooting like 37%, but the difference is –
but they shoot a lot of them.
You know, having that ability to, you know, having that ability to have another bag to get to.
That's their game. And like what happened, like you said, took the words out of my mouth, the Nuggets have a plan B. The Boston Celtics didn't have a plan B. They just kept – I'm like, dude, you're missing 10 straight here. Do something else.
But that's what I'm saying. They have a plan B. But let's keep it a buck, though. They still come out letting them things fly, though. That's their plan A is still every game. They be coming out letting them fly. Like, let's not act like they're not letting them fly. It's just that, you know, when they're not falling.
It's the flow of the offense. It's like I always say, some days you just ain't going to happen. If the day you're like Miami game, too, they were just hot from it as you keep going. But then I always point out Boston game 7.
They were talking about it like, during one of the games in the chat. He was saying, like, he's like, man, look, their three's not falling, so they decided to post up. Like, he's like, I hope the Sixers can learn from this. But his point was, it ain't falling. We got something else to get to.
So the one thing that's funny, and I don't know that there's statistics. I imagine there would be. True shooting percentage may be one of them, where if I control the pace of the game and the possessions, then I can be less efficient. I can be less efficient. If I get a bunch of rebounders, I can have a gun and ass AI type dude. If I can get to the paint and get to the free throw line, I can slow the clock. I can get points. I can have a gun and ass James Harden, right? So controlling the pace of the game and the number of possessions is also just as key as being efficient from the perimeter, I believe. And it shows. And how do you do that? How do you control pace, and how do you control possessions? By being on the block to get rebounds, on the block to draw doubles, on the block to go to the foul line. It's simple, but that's an ugly game that fans in this day and age don't necessarily appreciate, which is why other teams don't do it. You copy Steph, and you wind up getting ice tray.
Yeah, and you know, one thing also, it's like with the Nuggets, right, it's also showing that Michael Porter Jr., like, he's been hurt a lot, so he's like he may have shaken a bug, where he now is showing, okay, he can shoot a three well, but when it's not falling, he ain't developed that other part yet. And at 6'10", when he develops that mid-range and get his game more well-rounded, now he's maybe a little healthier.
You look out there for real.
Yeah.
Very light.
You look out. Yeah. And I was watching the game last night. One thing crossed my mind was, how mad are Celtics fans that Brad Stevens are not drafting Christian Brown? Because we know they like having that Anglos on the team, you know. They got to have something to pull for. You know, not saying he's great, but we know why with the Celtics. You like when the Celtics empty the bench, It looks like a Georgetown back in the day where they empty their bench. Like, I didn't know they was on the team. You know, but I think with this finals, right, it just shows, like, one, team building and coaching. I don't think they're going to win this series, but this man's coached his ass off to get them this far. He's squeezing every bit of juice out of that orange. But, like, even with Denver, it shows that you need some luck. Look what Porter got drafted. And I wanted the Bulls to draft him. You take a flyer, and they passed on him, of course, for some mediocre player. But anyway, it's a whole different conversation. And then also you got Jamal Murray, like a seventh pick, and then Jokic, a seventh, second rounder. And I think if he was more athletic, he would have gone further. But he went to a spot where he could grow without the pressure. And I think they did a good job with bringing in KCP and Bruce Brown off the bench. That's just team build. It's not just collecting star players. It's building a team, and this team works.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, right? So I don't disagree with you, right? And the only time we talk about this is when people go to flyover towns and they have the ability to sit and grow because no one cares.
That's the lucky
part. If you lose in Denver, yeah, no one cares. If you lose in OKC, no one cares, right? So it's like teams that have been built out this way. It does take a little bit of luck because if you remember, Michael Porter Jr. was supposed to be the first pick in the draft if he didn't have the injury.
Back injuries.
And because of the back injury, he fell. You know what I mean? Like, but they were talking about him being the most talented player leading up to that draft. And just he had a bad back, spinal. But so that is a little bit of luck involved. And also the pieces fit, right? Because, you know, all players say, I don't care about stats. I just want to get the win. But Joker says that I actually believe him. You can see it in this game. Like, he passes up on shot opportunities. And he's one of the only players I've seen. Crazy part, what I'm getting ready to say, people are going to cuss me out, but it's absolutely true. He's one of the only players I've seen recently that can dominate a game without scoring. And the last player I saw like that was before he hurt his vagina was Ben Simmons. Like, Ben Simmons would dominate games without actually scoring.
Steve Nash,
you know,
too.
This this is prime Ben Simmons before he got his Mannheim cracked. But anyway, all the pieces fit in terms of Denver, but, you know, you can build like that when you're in Denver. They wouldn't have been able to build that team in, say, New York, because in the season two, when Jokic was still trying to figure himself out, they would have been trying to trade him.
But LeBron would have had him traded already. It's just like legacy schedules, you know, like even the Bulls, right? Third biggest market, right? But they act like they run the team like the Indiana Pacers. Let me stop. But anyway, it's like, I know y'all may talk about it, like with Chris Paul, the Suns may let him go, and I think you have to.
Well, they already did. They waived him.
Yeah,
they
let him go. Gone, yeah. He's gone. It's time. They talking about he might go to the Clippers to end it.
Yeah, I think his family, his wife and kids, still live in L.A. Because I was like, I saw it on TV. That was talking like, it Cowherd made sense for once, talking about if he could, trade him to Boston for Marcus Smart. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. And one guy said, Memphis needs culture. And I'm like, yeah, but he ain't going to Memphis. But the Clippers, though, and like, I just think that his family there, but no one was going to trade for him that dollar amount. So you might as well let him go and let him pick.
To your point in bringing up Memphis, I know we glossed by that. Listen, if Chris Paul were to go to Memphis, one of their point guards on that roster would die.
Yeah,
and I ain't saying it's Chris Paul.
Yeah, it's job. I know sometimes people say, they let Chris Paul go. In my opinion, that is respect because they know, hey,
At this point in
his career, they did him a favor. Yep, you pick. Because I thought, if San Antonio traded for him to just get to have a bet around Wemby and those guys, because, you know, they want a team that got a bunch of cap space, not doing it long term, why not? But if he goes back to the Clippers, I don't know what they're going to do there because Kawhi, the biggest rivalry in the NBA is Kawhi and actually playing the game. And Paul George is always injured. I'm surprised they won't trade him, you know, and see what you can get. But it's like if people make a revisionist history about that, but just about every team would have traded that shape, like first year Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and those picks with Paul George to team up with Kawhi.
Yeah, I agree.
We got to keep that. We got to be honest about that. And because if they knew Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did a 30-point-a-game score, first-team All-NBA, I don't think they would have done it. You know?
Nobody knew that.
Yeah. And, like, so, like, even picks, right? Oklahoma City, that's a team, if you're looking to approve, trade a player there. So they got so many picks that he come off of. And plus with this new collective bargaining agreement, I would criticize the head of NBAPA, Michelle Roberts, but I don't want to be called a misogynist with eight black women. For getting that terrible deal.
These teams be stockpiling picks, but nobody wants to, like, you can't trade him for a star player. No star player want to go to OKC.
But see, here's the – I tell you what the problem is with these stockpiling picks.
They don't have a problem holding – when Shai come up, he going to – listen, they don't have a problem keeping the talent they do draft.
They're going to have a hard time keeping Giddy, you know. But see, here's the problem, right, with stockpiling picks. These kids are coming in at 19 playing AAU ball. They're going to take them 3 to 4 years just to be great, hit their potential. Because back in our day, these guys were coming in at 21 with college coaching. And so it's like, I forgot, it was a good team who had some picks. Or like Brooklyn, a good market. They should be making trades. Because
they got a better market, though. That's a better market.
What I'm saying. You can't use all those picks, especially this new CBA where you pay two guys and the rest are going to be just getting playing for mid-levels. So then you're going to have no more John Wall saying, man, Reggie Jackson make the same amount of money as me. And I actually agree with that but one thing before I run, ask y'all this. Do y'all think the NBA should get rid of the max salary? I think they should get rid of the max salary.
And do what? Just make it whatever you want to pay somebody?
Hey, I'm sorry. But the problem is, it's like these caps. You know what I think the problem is? So if you keep the max salary, you don't have to pay a B-level player LeBron James money, you get what I'm saying? Like Bradley Beal, he's getting Steph Curry money. He's getting a big time supermatch. And have he led them to the playoffs since he got that bread? He ain't that guy. So if you traded him a loss, though, you'd still be in the same boat.
If you remove the limit, then it's just going to be ridiculous because it still has to be a salary cap.
Jerry Reinsdorf ain't paying anyway. Yeah.
Let's go, man. We about to get out of here, man. We about to get out of here soon, man. So thanks for the call.
Hey, you guys take it easy. And shout out to Messi, be Austin's favorite player for getting paid out there in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, my man struck a deal to buy the league. Gonna get a percentage of the whole league.
Yeah, I'll take it easy.
All right, bro. Have a good one. All right, man. Listen, man. It's time to talk about what happened this week. Well, you were on the Bridge Naive, and we know that's brought to you by Digital Sync Technology, DigitalSyncTech.com, 267-205-4203. Let's go, yeah, they'll take care of you. But rest in power to the Iron Sheik. Sheiky died at 81 years of age, man, so rest in power to the Iron Sheik.
No doubt.
All right, let's talk about what he just talked about, though, Tobias on his way out. Lionel Messi. He signed with Inter Miami of the MLS instead of the Saudi club. And I think the Saudi club offered him like 2 or 3 years for like $1 billion, something ridiculous. But
The Saudis offered him 3 years, $214 million per year.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Something crazy. Yeah. But he turned it down. He signed with the MLS. Part of this, he's getting some of the proceeds that come from the Apple contract. It was so many things within that deal, man, that shout out to them for getting it done. I remember when David Beckham came to the MLS, and that's how he's actually became owner of the Miami team because he set up his back end all kinds of crazy. And they're saying that he paid, like, you know, a couple $1 million for the Miami team, but the valuation would be close to $1 billion with Messi pulling up.
So as a part of his contract, the biggest piece to that was he had a fixed right to purchase an MLS expansion franchise for $25 million. So by the time he went to buy Miami, it was already $125 million in value that he bought it for.
crazy.
And he bought it at
and now they're saying it's
going to
be a Billy.
Yeah, it's worth $700 before Messi. Think Messi brings you to $1 billion just alone. The ticket prices went. So the ticket for July, I think they have a July 11th match before Messi signing was $29. The ticket price now is $497.
Yeah, I heard it costs more to go see Messi than the NBA final. So,
shout out to
Messi for bringing his own economy to the MLS, man. That'll be interesting, man. Because I think about it, I'm like, yo, the Union up here where they play Miami, I know the ticket's gonna be off the wazoo. But anyway, man, shout out to Messi for being a walking economy. Speaking of that Saudi money, man, LIV Golf, they merged with the PGA, which is kind of effed up because remember LIV was offering them cartoon deals that offered Tiger like $1 billion or $700 million, something crazy. Greg Norman got offered all kinds of money, and folks were turning them down to be loyal to the PGA. And LIV was like, cool, so let's take the whole PGA then.
Yeah, let's buy the PGA then. Yeah, cool.
Yo, that's kind of effed up, yo. Hey, listen, man, Theodore DiBiase told me as a kid that everybody has their price, man.
I'm laughing. I think it's funny.
It is funny. What else happened? Oh, all right, so Shady McCoy, man, he's a rumor to be the replacement for Shannon Sharpe as Skip Bayless's black friend in the morning show. So kind of crazy, though, because I heard initially they wanted, like, Nick Wright, but they said they have to put a black person there. Like, that's just the formula now. So Shady McCoy is in the running, man. Are you ready to see Shady bring his craziness and get on a bigger platform?
Yeah, I'm. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm proud. I'm proud of Shady. I like to see him flex his muscle, show his personality. For me, I'm just wondering if he's going to get in a position where Joy Taylor is able to play Mariah Mills for Halloween. But go ahead.
Hey, yo. The funny thing is, I forgot who said it. Somebody, I think it was Savad in the chat, was like, yo, if Tom Brady's a topic, they're going to fight over the boy Schlong because Shady McCoy and Skip are both Brady, like, you know, followers of Brady. So hopefully that's never one of the topics.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to be counting veins.
Yeah. I'm just going to move on. Hey, yo, you out of pocket, yo. Also, this past week, man, three Cleveland Browns players got robbed, man. Somebody set them up. Like, how all three of y'all get robbed, dog? Three players in the same squad. Somebody is lining them up.
Yo,
somebody
don't respect Instagram and OnlyFans. Instagram and OnlyFans going to be the downfall of y'all dudes, and that's all I got to say.
Yeah, somebody line y'all up, dog. It's like y'all don't respect y'all jaw. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all out here wilding in the streets, not understanding, man. It's real in the field. Folks is out here starving, and they will make you a meal. That's pretty much all I got on that. Be safe out there. Cleveland ain't nothing to play with, too, though. Like, you know, Cleveland, I mean, it goes down in Cleveland. So be safe, though, in the words of the great Tax Stone, Free Tax. Be safe, though. Before we get out of here, let's talk about this Dayton Sports History, which is brought to you by Sports the Book. Best sports book ever written. That's just the bottom line. You can get it from warroomsports.com. On June 8th, 1989, the Pittsburgh Pirates scored 10 runs in the first inning, which prompts the Pirates broadcaster Jim Rooker to say, he'll walk from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia if the Pirates lost. The Phillies beat them, came back and beat them 15-11. So he had to walk at the end of the season from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. So we'd like to give a big War Room salute to this historical moment. But it's time for us to get out of here. Shout out to my brother B. Austin for holding it down me today. Like, you know, I told you we got under an hour. That's how we do. We ain't playing no games, man. Shout out to everybody who joined us, man. Shout out to Scott View in the chat. Shout out to Mariah Mills for providing the content to make the show possible. We appreciate all of our supporters. Everything we do can be found at the hub of War Room Sports. Make sure you stay tuned into the NBA Finals. We'll be back here next week. You can catch our show as well as all of our sister shows at warroomsports.com on the War Room Sports podcast network. But until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance, and we'll see you chumps on Till's My Yee.
Yo. Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B-Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed. Call it 323 smoking 0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop scholars, pit stop knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Sports are a secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast, you better name us. War Room Sports.
If you want some barbarian coochie, be my guest. If you that thirsty that you need some barbarian coochie, go get you some barbarian coochie. And I hope...
War Room Sports. www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.